This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're celebrating Frank Sinatra's 80th birthday. James Isaacs co-produced two box sets, Frank Sinatra, The Voice, The Columbia Years, a reissue brought out in the 1980s, and Frank Sinatra, The Reprise Collection, released to coincide with Sinatra's 75th birthday. Isaacs is also an arts reporter and program host at WBUR in Boston, where he's done both jazz and rock and roll shows. In his liner notes for the Reprise Collection, after describing Sinatra as the single greatest male interpreter of popular songs, Isaacs thanks his mother for giving him something to rebel against, then revere. I asked him to elaborate on that thought.
Well, like many of my generation and yours, Terry, I was initially put off by Frank Sinatra because he represented everything that I loathed as a 13, 14, 15-year-old, whatever. He was the personification of adult America in all of its evils. The phonies with capital P's, you know.
Lots of showbiz values.
Yeah, lots of showbiz values. You know, there's an album title for one of those Jackie Gleason albums on which Jackie Gleason conducted and featured the wonderful cornetist Bobby Hackett. And the album's title, Music, Martinis, and Memories. And that should have been one of Frank's titles, because that's kind of what I'm getting at here.
Now, when did you start hearing Frank Sinatra differently?
I think it happened, the revelation occurred in 1971.
And what was the revelation?
The revelation was that I was feeling particularly unhappy on one particular evening, and I had, you know, I'd always been, when I say always, I had since the age of 14 or so been a jazz fan, and a lot of the tunes that the jazz musicians recorded, of course, had been done first by Frank Sinatra, and I had found a bunch of albums. In those days, I was given to haunting used record stores, and on one particular afternoon, I'd found a bunch of Frank Sinatra capitals. Of course, these are the classic Sinatra albums from the 1950s, and they were priced at $3 for $5. I think that they were all in monaural. But in any case, because it's almost impossible for me to pass by a record store without buying something, I did take home these three or four Frank Sinatra albums, and one of those albums, of course, I remembered it from my childhood and adolescence, was Frank Sinatra Sings for Only the Lonely. And the album contains, among other things, Spring Is Here, Only the Lonely, Willow Weep for Me, Angel Eyes. And all of these, as a matter of fact, were I learned later, all of these were recorded on the very same day, May 29th, 1958, quite a session. And one of the tunes that was included there was Guess I'll Hang My Tears Out to Dry, which to me is the great Sinatra performance. And I was just sitting there in my lonely little room in Cambridge, and it all just came together. I said, God, this guy's really good.
And did you start seeking out more Sinatra after that?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, now, remember, I had already been exposed to much of Frank Sinatra through the stuff that I heard on my mother's car radio, because as she continuously reminded me, hey, my car, my radio. When you get your car, it'll be your radio. So I had no radio vote in that car. And we listened to William B. Williams, who was the dean of WNEW. He had a rich baritone voice, and he used to begin his program with, "Hello, world, this is William B." And of course, the world was expected to fall over as he started each and every broadcast with the chairman of the board, and then he wouldn't have to identify the chairman of the board because, of course, that was Frank Sinatra. So,
well, over the years, you've become a jazz critic, a radio host of jazz shows and rock shows and soul and R&B shows.
Yep.
And you've put together several collections of Frank Sinatra recordings.
Mm-hmm.
Play some for us now as a singer. What do you see as being Sinatra's contribution to singing?
Well, there are many, of course. The things that jump immediately to my mind are the cello-like sonority. You know, nobody sounds as beautiful as Frank Sinatra on a ballad, And nobody sounds as exuberant as he on an up-tempo tune. There's such a depth of feeling. I would guess that for whatever reason, he feels things more than the average human being does. And that's not always a good thing.
And what about his timing? I just find his timing so extraordinary.
When you say timing, I think you mean phrasing.
Rhythm and phrasing.
Yeah, well, the fact that so many jazz improvisers of the highest order have looked to Frank Sinatra for, if nothing else, repertory is significant here. I'm talking about Lester Young and Miles Davis, Red Garland, even Coltrane when he was still recording standard tunes. The fact that Frank Sinatra's recordings were of importance to people of this caliber says a lot to me.
You know, I think for people of our age who grew up with rock and roll, but Frank Sinatra was still having hits on the radio, mm-hmm. I think one of the things, speaking for myself anyways, one of the things I didn't like about Sinatra before I rediscovered him was him singing rock songs. I mean, I still don't actually like him singing rock songs, but I think that he's incomparable when it comes to ballads and kind of swing tunes. But give him, like, a rock tune, and I just don't think it works. And I think that that's part of what alienated a lot of people of my generation to Sinatra.
Yeah, well, you know, radio was a very different experience in the mid-1960s than it is during the mid-1990s. And the top 40 charts, when in fact there was such a thing as a top 40 chart, were much more all-inclusive. They wanted my mother in the car to, at least for a moment, have something to identify with. And they wanted me, meaning somebody 15 years old, to have a lot more to identify with back then. So, yes, you would get the odd Sinatra cut, That's Life, or Strangers in the Night, or other tunes of that ilk. To me, they were mostly duds. He sings, I think, with great conviction on That's Life. You know, it's a blues. And he's doing the Ray Charles on that one. And it's okay with me, but I'm not much of a fan and never have been much of a fan of Scooby-Dooby-Doo and all that.
Let me ask you to choose your favorite Sinatra recording.
Well, for me, it's the second recording, the Capitol recording of Guess I'll Hang My Tears Out to Dry. Sinatra recorded it first for Columbia, July 30th, 1946, but he recorded it for Capitol at that famous May 29th, 1958 session with Nelson Riddle's arrangement, and every note on it is letter perfect for me.
James Isaacs co-produced Sinatra box set reissues for Columbia and Reprise. Here's Guess I'll Hang My Tears Out to Dry.
When I want rain, I get sunny weather. I'm just as blue as the sky. Since love is gone, can't pull myself together. Guess I'll hang my tears out to dry. Friends ask me out, I tell them I'm busy. I must get a new alibi. I stay at home and ask myself, who is he? Guess I'll hang my tears out to dry.
This is Fresh Air.